Good morning. On behalf of the congregation and the session, I want to welcome everybody to Cook's Church, and we especially want to welcome some of Elizabeth's family that she's came in just for her 80th birthday. So be sure and wish Elizabeth happy 80th birthday. We want to welcome to our pulpit this morning Sarah Diane Jones, and Pastor Jason is away today on study leave, and she will be giving us our sermon today. She's proud to have lived in all the southern states, but she claims Alabama as her home. She's a graduate of Maryville College. She majored in religion before spending 3 years in Washington, D.C., She's working with the PCUSA's Young Adult Volunteer Program and local congregation there. After 4 years at Sardis Presbyterian Church here in Charlotte, she now serves as the Program Associate for the Center for Excellence in Christian Education at Union Presbytery Seminary, where she'll also graduate in June 29th, with a Master's of Divinity degree and also a Master's of Arts in Christian Education. We want to welcome her. She's very passionate about children and the creativity, so we want to welcome Sarah Diane Jones to our pulpit today. We also want to remember Memorial Day. This is a very special day in the life of our country, in the life of our church. We want to say a heartfelt thank you for all of our service people that have served in the services, but also those that have sacrificed their lives for so that we can have freedom. You know, I think we take this freedom for granted so very often, and today is a good day to remember that this is this freedom that we so enjoy does not come free. It has great sacrifices. So remember those that have served our country and given us this great freedom. At the back in the Northex, if you would like one, there's a list of all the servicemen that have served in our congregation, both present and past, and those that have gone to heaven. This morning, we're going to be continuing to collect our non-perishable food items. This is the last Sunday before the end of July that we will be collecting those. We collect those for Nourish Up, which we know earlier as loaves and fishes. And so we will not be collecting any more until the end of July, but if you have those, there's bins in the Northex and also in the Education Building where you can place those items. We will be collecting 10 cents a meal today. There's a box on the table in front of us, and you can just put it in the box on your way out. These are the couple of the ministries that we do to help feed the hungry, so we hope that you'll help us with those. We will not be having today the cooking class or our prayer team meeting or our adult Bible study due to it being Memorial Day weekend, but they will resume next Sunday on June 2nd. The upcoming events is next Sunday on June the 2nd. We're going to be recognizing our high school and college graduates for a job well done. So that will be celebrated next week. Also, on June the 8th, we have our annual car show that the men always put on. It's going to start from 8:30 to 12, and showtime will be 9 to 2:30. The Cook's men will be selling lunch items, and if you have any questions, please feel free to ask Dwight Black or Dolores Green, and they can answer any questions you might have. On July 27th, we're going to host a one-day vacation Bible school, and it's going to be in the basement this year because we can't be sure that we'll have our fellowship hall completed. But it's going to be from 4 years to fifth grade, and the youth will be helping. If you have any questions about this, please ask Paige Benson, or if you want to volunteer to help with Vacation Bible School, talk to Paige. The beautiful flowers today are in honor of Elizabeth, Her family, by Matt and Mark and their families, and by Phyllis and Don Monteith and their families. They're beautiful, Elizabeth. We're going to have a commissioning today. As you know, we do support the Caggiata Children's Home, and today we have be having the commissioning of those people that are going to be going to Kenya this year on the mission trip. So with that, I'll turn it over to Sarah Diane.
God created every single one of us with a gift to use for His glory. So your calling could be leading our worship. It could be our music. It could be taking care of others in our congregation or even our church grounds. It could also be just supporting the efforts of other people. Our primary purpose on this earth is to glorify God by sharing His love and lead others to Christ. So God's mission work is in our community, in our country, and even halfway across the world. So 16 years ago in this church, the founder of Caggiata Children's Home came to speak to us and share his mission of rescuing children affected by the HIV/AIDS epidemic. His story touched our hearts, and for 2 years, we supported him through school supplies and clothing donations to carry with him before planning our first mission trip in 2010. On that trip, 9 of our congregation members went to Kenya, and 9 of them are still involved today. Spending that time with the kids touched our hearts, and it changed the way that we looked at things. In 2014, 3 of our church members worked together to form a 501c3 to coordinate the support of 2 other churches, one in Ohio and one in Florida. In the last 10 years, we've been able to add 8 more church partners. So we now have 2 in Ohio, 2 in Florida, 1 in South Carolina, and 6 in North Carolina. It has turned out to be God's calling for several of us who continue to be involved in Hope for Caggiata today. But your support through child sponsorships and donations has made an incredible impact on the lives of these kids. Together, we built a well in 2010, and we built another one this year. We've added greenhouses for the garden. We built a stone perimeter wall. We've expanded the farm project. We have chickens and rabbits and cows. We even last year added a videography team who donate their time and talents and are creating our videos for the organization. Next week, we are realizing a dream. We are dedicating a primary school on the campus of Caggiata Children's Home. So this is going to make a big impact. So I want to thank you for your support of this calling, because we are God's people. We are doing God's work in this special place called Kenya. And for the next 3 weeks, we'll be visiting with the kids, holding Bible studies, and again, thank you. So there are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it's the same Lord who is served. Each one of us is given a gift by the Spirit to use for the common good. But together, we are the body of Christ and individual members of the body of Christ. So today, I welcome Marisa and Evan Smith to join me. There are mission trip commissionings taking place today in 4 other churches. We have 21 people going to Kenya this year. And, you know, we are very excited to spend this time with the children.
So as you prepare to leave this place, do you accept the responsibility of representing this congregation and God in doing the work of our Lord in a distant place? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Will you work to exemplify Christ's teachings by loving one another and by translating Christ's message with excitement and care, turning strangers to friends and friends to brothers and sisters? If so, answer, I will. Will you serve in this special work with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, treasuring your experiences as opportunities to teach and grow? If so, answer, I will. And now you all, do you, the members and friends of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, accept these people as missionaries chosen to extend our Christian love and concern to others? If so, answer, I do. Will you support them with your prayers during their venture and with your interest upon their return, recognizing their special contribution to the work of the church and their mission as your own? If so, answer, I will. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we present our hopes for these specially commissioned this day. In every age, you have chosen servants to speak your word in unique and special and various ways. We thank you for these people whom you have called to serve you. Give them each special gifts to do their special work. Fill them with the Holy Spirit so that they may accept all they confront and be faithful and joyful in their task. Bring them safely home, and then let their experience further enrich us so that we too may better serve you.
Creator God, now give us strength, wisdom, and love to work for our Lord Jesus Christ as we serve others in distant places. Amen.
Amen. You are now commissioned by this, your home congregation. So go forth, doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
You, Aiden. Welcome.
Let us praise God because
God is good.
Let us praise God because
God is powerful.
Let us praise God because
God is full of majesty.
Let us worship God.
Let us open our worship with prayer. Holy God, you are indeed good, powerful, full of majesty, and so much more. You have brought us together in this place so that we might worship you in the beauty of the community that you have formed. We know that you are in this place, Holy One. Your Spirit is on the move in our midst, and we are thankful. As we worship you, we pray that our hearts will be opened wide, and that our spirits will be inspired to do your work in this world you've made. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit as we sing hymn number 69, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Yeah.
Each week, we come before God and we say that we are sorry, both for what we have done and what we have left undone. We are not perfect people, but the beautiful thing about God is that God never expected us to be. So let us now go to God in prayer, first together as one body and then silently. Holy God, we have made mistakes. We have forgotten to look for our neighbors in need, because sometimes the pain is too much to bear. We have put ourselves before our community, even though we know that you call us to be one body. We know that we should do better, but we often get stuck in our old patterns. Forgive us, God, for these things and the things that we bring to you now. Amen. Friends, God sent Jesus into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. When we go to God and confess our sins, God washes those sins away, and the waters of baptism remind us that nothing can and nothing will separate us from God's love. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you.
As you are being seated, I would love to invite any children of the congregation to come forward for a time with Audrey.
Hello, guys.
I guess I'm good.
Ooh, let's get down here. I only bite on Sunday. Y'all come closer. Good gracious. Nah, I'm kidding. I don't bite. Hard. Okay, good morning. How are you guys? All right, one question, because I'm... Who is a child of God? Our people, come on. Because I'm talking to all of you. Come on. Okay, I want to talk to you guys about two things today. One is my favorite scripture, and it's Psalms 23:6. I was going to look it up, but you guys know it. I'll say the first word. You finish the rest. Psalm 23:6. Surely, yay, they know it. I knew they did. Okay, so I always thought, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I always thought that meant I believe in God, so I'm going to have a good life and skip on through it. But someone told me another way to look at it, and that is, because I believe in God, I should have goodness and mercy follow me. I should do something every day to help other people, something good. Now, who can read my shirt? Aiden, can you read that? Yeah. Now read the red letters.
Be the good.
Yay. Okay. So, this little while ago, we blessed some people who are going to Kenya to a children's home to do good. And then, guess what? You guys can do good every day. You can help people. You can smile to cheer them up. Come on, Elena, work with me. You can pick up trash. You can do whatever your mom wants. Nah, okay. So wake up every day and say, I am good and I can be the good. I am the good. And the second thing, now I know that we're not collecting food for the food bank until the end of July. I want you guys to do something. Bring boxes of cereal for the next few months, and then we're going to do this train. I saw this cool thing on TV where a school got like 3,000 boxes of cereal, and they knocked them down like a train all through the school. Now, I don't know if we'll have enough to go through the whole church, but we can try. Is anybody needing it? You want to make a small train now? Anybody? I do. I don't care if nobody does. So this is what it'll look like with hundreds more. Okay, I'm dreaming. All right. That's kind of fun, isn't it? Can you imagine if there's tons more? Hundreds? Thousands? All right, we probably won't get thousands. But anyway... That's my plan. So for the first next few months, bring boxes of cereal. Okay? Everybody? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for making each of us different and wonderful. Help us to see ways to help others.
And be the good.
Amen.
All right.
I invite you to rise again in body or in spirit to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. May be seated. Let us pray. God of all wisdom, as we prepare to hear your word read this morning, we remember that while your word never changes, we are new each time we hear it. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds so that we are ready to listen for a new thing today. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me."
Our New Testament reading comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which may be a little bit different than what's on screen, but not a lot. So hear now this reading. "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.' Jesus answered him, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' And Jesus answered, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.' The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." So I imagine that any student in the congregation today will find Nicodemus relatable. He wants to understand, wants to believe what Jesus is offering, wants to know how these great promises will influence his life. And yet, going before Jesus to ask these questions in the daytime was a little bit too frightening. What if no one else had these questions? What if no one else was wondering? Nicodemus goes to Jesus in the darkness of night because knowing did matter more than sleep. He tells Jesus what it is that he knows. "You are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Clearly, Nicodemus is wrestling with this, right? Asking the question is braver than keeping it to himself. But over and over in the Gospels, we see that Jesus is not one for easy answers. Jesus holds space for Nicodemus, the questions that Nicodemus brings, but he doesn't exactly make it easy on him. "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," Jesus says. Now, when you and I read this text, we have the benefit of knowing the rest of the story. We have centuries of Christian history and theology and study that we can fall back on. We have scholars and preachers and those who are committed to making the ancient story our story. But Nicodemus didn't. So can we blame him for being confused? Jesus' words to Nicodemus are some of his most famous. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit, Jesus says. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He continues in the reading by saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. So I'm wondering, show of hands, how many people in here have John 3:16 memorized? Story checks out. That's about what I thought. So for so long, this verse was everywhere. I am from Alabama. I am an Alabama football fan. I was a middle schooler the year that the University of Florida won the national championship, and Tim Tebow had John 3:16 written across his cheeks. It was very memorable for a sad Alabama fan. You might not know that 94 million people Googled John 3:16 during the national football championship. Or the football national championship. You knew what I meant. One of these days, I am going to go through my senior yearbook and count how many of my classmates picked John 3:16 as their senior quote. Or maybe run a poll, right? See how many people got John 3:16 as their first tattoo. I strive to be different and find myself gravitating to verse 17. And I wonder how many people could recite verse 17 as easily as verse 16. Verse 17 says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Good work. Whoever is back here reciting, very nice. John 3:16 is a good and faithful word. It is a beautiful verse that brings to mind that you can bring to mind in times of trial or in doubt. But there's just something about verse 17. Earlier this week, I was listening to an interview from January from Fresh Air, which is a show on NPR, about the rise of Christian nationalism in our country. And I was struck by the way that it's so easy to transform our faith into a weapon to hurt people. It makes me really sad when I see Christianity turned into a weapon rather than an invitation into the beauty of God's love. Because when I look at a congregation, I see love at work. That, to me, is what Christianity is. Indeed, Jesus says, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I view these words as a calling for us to continue living out. I read a commentary on this passage this week, and Judith Jones, who is a vicar in the Episcopal Church, wrote that Jesus invites all of us to receive life as God's gift. The crucified Son of God shows us God's love, scorned and rejected, but triumphant. Those who trust Jesus, staking their lives on divine love, will be reborn from above through the Spirit. By God's mercy, they will not be merely forgiven, but made whole, remade in God's image as participants in God's new creation. A little fun fact about me is that I think baptism is the best thing that the church has ever done. And each week when we are reminded of God's grace following the confession of sins, we are reminded that in our baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever. We have been brought into God's family, woven together in a tapestry that can never be torn, and we therefore are called to be participants in the work of God in the world. The Lord says to us, "Whom shall I send? Who will go?" And we have the opportunity every day to say, "Here I am. Send me." Gay set me up perfectly by saying that we are called to spread God's love in the world using our unique gifts. For some, that is through teaching or preaching or prayer. For some, that is through art or storytelling or acts of service. Our mission workers, who are called to go into areas of the world that don't have the same kind of privilege we have here. Some are called to be mission partners in their own communities. Some are called to bring us truth through song or story. You may have seen the news that yesterday, Richard Sherman, a songwriter who was made famous by his work with Walt Disney, died at age 95. He and his brother Bob wrote the songs that shaped the childhoods of millions of children. Mary Poppins, Winnie the Pooh, The Jungle Book, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and so many more were all brought to life with the music of Bob and Dick Sherman. As a child, I was obsessed with Mary Poppins. At church camp in the summer, we sang the doxology to the tune of Chim Chim Cheree. If you are wondering, it goes like this. Praise God from whom all heaven or all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God from whom all heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen, 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 amen. There's your new blessing for the lunch table. When my family went to Disney World, the top of my sister's wish list was meeting Mary Poppins. The Sherman brothers shaped our childhoods. And as an adult, I realized that how much of their teachings taught me about God's love. You may or may not know that Walt Disney's favorite song was Feed the Birds. Each Friday afternoon, he would call the Sherman brothers into his office and just say, "Play it." And they would sit at the piano and the music would start. For those who may not remember, Feed the Birds is a song that Mary Poppins, played by Julie Andrews, sings to Jane and Michael Banks the night before their father takes them to work with them. They are anxious about spending so much time with the father that they don't know very well. And to ease their anxieties, Mary Poppins tells them about a woman who sits on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral selling bags of crumbs to feed the birds. She sings, "All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down as she sells her wares. Although you can't see it, you know they're smiling each time someone shows that he cares. Though her words are simple and few, listen, listen, she's calling to you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag." It doesn't seem like much. It's a little song from a little children's movie that was famous, is famous. But it's just about some birds and some crumbs. But when you think about it, when you sit, when you look at the lyrics, when you play it on repeat because your kid is obsessed, this is the gospel. The woman is calling out, hoping that someone will hear her words and help her to care for these birds that everyone else would rather ignore. She is calling out, who will hear her? Who might listen? Who might choose to see her in all of her being rather than simply walking past? Would you? Would I? I don't know. Have you ever been surprised about the way that God calls out to you? It's not always quite as obvious as a seraph flying down and touching your mouth with a live coal, like it was in the Isaiah reading. We might not always hear God's voice calling out, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" But each week, when we have the opportunity to come together as one community of faith, we are calling out to God, "Here I am. Send me. Send us out into the world to show your love. Send us out to love those who need it the most. Send us out to pay attention to those that the world would rather ignore. Send us out knowing that your Spirit is our guide, your Son, our teacher, and you, O God, our comforter and parent." Today is Trinity Sunday, and we might not fully understand the Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. It is complicated and confusing, even for those who study the gospel for a living. But we do understand that God was at work in the world through Jesus. And on that Pentecost Sunday that we celebrate every year, that Spirit was let loose into the world. The Spirit brought God's call to all of us so that we could continue the work of God in the world today. We are called to trust that God is God so that we don't have to be. God loves this world so much that God sent Jesus into the world to bring salvation. God loves this world so much that God leads with love, not condemnation. God loves this world. And because we love God, we are called to love this world too. And the thing about love is that it is an action word, my friends. So let us go and act, loving God's people in all that we do. Amen. Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, your Spirit fills the earth and all who dwell in it. We see your presence in the lives of those we love, and we give thanks. We see the evidence of your great works in an ever-changing world around us. The way that spring is creeping towards summer, the children who have grown in leaps and bounds since the beginning of the school year, the community born from a commitment to loving all who cross our paths. We give thanks because we trust that you are never apart from us. In our weaknesses, in our doubts, in our celebrations, in our sorrows, you are there. You are with us in all that we do, guiding us towards your path. We pray that we will always remember that you are calling us to things that we may never be able to imagine, and to keep our hearts and minds open to your call. God of peace, on this Memorial Day weekend, we are so aware of those who made a courageous choice to serve their country in times that our world was not peaceful. We give thanks for the sacrifices made in order to protect. And on this day, we honor those who died as a result of the world's failure to live in the peace that you desire for us. We grieve those losses, and as a community, we lift to the light those for whom that grief is too heavy to bear. We know when there are not words for what we are feeling that your Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And we know that your Spirit is sighing today. We pray for those whose names only you know, whose suffering is silent but real. We pray for those who are caregivers that they may find rest in you. We pray for our country and our leaders that they might make informed decisions that put people first, for the love that you model always remembers your creation. We pray these things and so many more in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I have been told that there are multiple ways to offer your gifts back to God by giving to Cook's Church and the mission to serve Christ in this area. There is a QR code located in the pew racks and on the bulletin if you wish to donate electronically. There's also online giving, and you can contact Ginger Thompson for details on that. Or you can place your gift on the way out in the offering plates that are available on the offertory table at the front of the sanctuary, or the offering plates that are available in the narthex. We are grateful for all that you do to support Cook's Church. Invite you to stand. As you go out from this place, I hope you go knowing that you are loved. Go knowing that God will never leave you. And I hope you go and show that kind of love to everyone you meet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Spirit be with you today and every day. Amen. Thank you.